This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Super duper excited about the show. I've got a fun book to talk about and a wonderful author. Her name's Allison Rand. Allison's going to talk to us about her latest book, Walking Allison, a poodle's mostly true story of helping her human navigate life. So I love that. Love the title. Love the cover. So we're going to talk to Allison a little bit about that and talk to her poodle, Daya. Get the viewpoint of Daya, since the book is written in that viewpoint. And then we'll obviously talk a little bit about writing styles and publishing books, all that wonderful stuff. So it's going to be a fun show. Everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is author Allison Rand. Allison, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's really wonderful to be here, and I'm very grateful.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure having you on. I love the book, Walking Allison, a poodle's mostly true story, so I want to pick your brain on that, but a poodle's mostly true story of helping her human navigate life. And we all know that our animals, our dogs in particular, navigate us down the right path, or at least the path they want to take. So I love the subtitle on the book as well. Tell us a little bit about the book, Walking Allison.
Oh, sure. Well, after I published my first memoir, A Place Called Grace, I heard from many people that they were curious what happened to me because it concludes in a bittersweet way and it's not a fairy tale ending. Thus, I felt I still had more of a story to tell, but I didn't feel that telling it from my own point of view was the way to go. So as I looked for a different angle, I realized that only my beloved black poodle, Daya, knows me as well as I know myself. And she's pretty opinionated. So I thought, why not write my second memoir from her point of view? I had actually been trying out some blogs from Daya's point of view before. So it was on the back burner in a way. To write my own story from her point of view was actually quite challenging. I needed it to be completely different from my first very bare and open memoir. Well, Walking Allison is also very bare and open, showing my vulnerabilities and health issues. But writing it completely from Daya's viewpoint, not my own, as I'm just a character in her story. And you know, in a way, it's like two different books. For those who like memoirs, and for those who can see themselves in other struggles in life and can relate, and those who would enjoy a story told by an amazing, proud poodle. So trying to intertwine Daya's voice and personality into telling my story was the goal. And it wasn't that easy, but it was the goal.
Well, I think you did a marvelous job with it, or Daya did a marvelous job with it. We'll give her credit on that for sure. It is interesting because, you know, oftentimes, you know, we'll see not necessarily memoirs, but we'll, you know, books will come across, nonfiction books will come across in particular, mysteries involving the animals and animals solving problems, these type of things, whatever the book may be. But
right.
Told from the dog's, in this case, dog's point of view, but rarely do I see anything come across where you're actually having the dog's opinion or viewpoint on a memoir.
Right.
So I can imagine that that is difficult. And how did you strip out a strap, you know, move apart from the first book to this book to get into the what you feel is the mind's eye or the inner body of Dea?
Well, this memoir chronicles many of the most difficult and also many of the joyous moments of my life. And it begins when Dea is born, 6 weeks after my first dog, Alba, died. And it was also on my birthday. Dea and I have the same birthday, which is amazing. So I knew it was a good sign. And I take her home and she seems to suddenly develop her huge, proud poodle personality, but not without a lot of difficulty being left alone. She's a very needy puppy and suffers from separation anxiety, which is very difficult in the beginning. And I couldn't leave the house. But soon enough, after I get trained, and I write about this in the book because it was I who really got trained, she initiates all the good things that happened to me, like making so many new connections and bringing humor and more acceptance of myself and others into my world via our life journey and long walks together. And of course, she has firm opinions about my love life. I had fallen in love again with a man, which fortunately didn't work out, but she's okay with it. She has firm opinions about my health. In the book, I write I had gone through 2 bouts with breast cancer, and her opinions about her own real life dog friends and anytime she's left alone in the house. So, you know, Dea is my solace for all the bad and difficult moments I go through in this book, such as loss, illness, fear. And she has her own reasoning as to why they happen. She gives me a completely different perspective on all the vicissitudes of life that might seem really tragic to me. But even when I hopelessly try meditation, for example, Dea feels this is ridiculous. Why don't I just be in the moment like she does and go outside and sniff other dogs? There's no need to sit in a chair listening to loud gongs. So it's been an interesting journey trying to get her voice.
I love that part of it, the meditation part, because I've professionally recorded some guided meditations that are out there because I'm a mm-hmm. big believer in meditation, and guided meditation is definitely one path. Of course, listening to gongs and chants and mantras and, getting in the lotus position is meditation. But I think that Dea hit upon it because I talk about this quite often, that meditation to me is anything that allows your conscious mind to shut off and allows your subconscious to open up. So being out in part of nature and smelling the smells and seeing the things and just being there actually allows that subconscious mind to open up. So Dea was actually, in my opinion, directing you to the proper form of meditation, which is obviously the dog's perfect form of meditation as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's taught me so many things. I mean, as all animals do, I believe they teach us more than we ever give them credit for. You know, also, I live alone in New York City. And after going through so much loss, like my brother's death and my mom's death and my first dog, Alba, plus my own serious physical illnesses like the cancer, Dea seems to understand that I'm a bit sensitive and sometimes a bit fragile, which she makes fun of. Especially after I have a number of silly accidents, one of which that leads me into the ER with her by my side. This was during one of our breaks from the city. But even with my 2 bouts with breast cancer, she gets me out of myself because, I guess, of my love and caring for her. She also understands that my focus is really on her and that we need to throw her favorite toy of the day so that the day can begin well. She knows if something were to happen to me, she would be my concern. She always knows that. But this wise and opinionated puppy literally pulls me along and moves me forward on our life journeys. And really, it's her gift to me is when I realized I began to trust in myself and my own abilities again, experiencing like an inward feeling of safety and security that I had always longed for. And it's through Daya's teaching me that this really came to fruition. It was a big part of the ending of my book. Through each of the chapters, the one thing that Daya always accomplished was to help me look at life differently, with more joy and acceptance, and just being able to move forward. So I don't know if people who don't have dogs would understand that, but we are so intertwined and we've gone through so much together that she really leads me in this journey. I lead her too, but she really leads me in a different journey, appreciating life in such a different way than I never would if I didn't have a dog.
I love that. Well, let's talk a little bit about the comparison in your take on this from writing your first memoir.
Yeah.
How did you feel after writing that compared to writing this book? Was there a big sense of relief and feeling that, okay, I set out to tell my story in the first book? Or was it more of once this Walking Allison came out, it really allowed you to sort of release what perhaps you didn't get accomplished in the first one?
Oh, that is such a great question. Really, my first book was my first memoir. And yes, while it was cathartic, it was helpful to me to move forward as well. My first book was about feeling really unmoored in New York City after my divorce and trying to be an actress. And I needed an adventure. So I moved alone to Rome, Italy, without knowing anyone or speaking the language or having any work. But I made a life there. I got a work permit by myself and lived there for 3 years until a terrible accident forced me to come back home. But when I came back home, I went through a series of terrible, terrible losses where I lost my brother and then my mother right after, and then my beloved first dog, Alba. And I was a wreck. I didn't want to do acting anymore. I also got very sick with another illness. And I decided to get my master's in social work, that would be the best thing to do. But I was really floundering until a quirky octogenarian named Grace, aptly named Grace, came into my life and helped me get my resiliency back. She was an amazing woman. And so this book does have a lot of humor in it, but it's also very, very bittersweet. So it ends on a bittersweet note, not a happy fairy tale ending, as I said. Other authors have written about moving to Rome and then they meet Prince Charming and their life seems to be wonderful. My memoir is a bit different. I don't want to say it feels more real, but it was more real for me. It didn't happen so easily. But this second book, Walking Allison, written in Daya's perspective, was the most joyful writing venture I've ever encountered. It was very difficult. And yes, we talked about difficult subjects and opened up a lot of vulnerabilities for me, but it's okay. I mean, that's what a memoir is. And writing, again, trying to write from her perspective, I tried to do the opposite of anthropomorphizing because I did not want to put human characteristics on Daya. I tried to the best of my ability to write thinking, she's really a dog. This is what she'd think. She doesn't care about other things. She wants to be with me all the time. She wants to sniff flowers. She wants to run around. She wants to be very social. So writing from that perspective was the biggest joy, I can tell you. It was a complete different venture.
That's fantastic. What would you say if you were asked the one thing that this book taught you that the first one didn't, or the one thing, let's perhaps say Daya has taught you when going through writing the book, Walking with Allison?
Oh, she's taught me. That's an awfully wonderful question as well. What she really taught me with this book was to not take myself so seriously, because if I wrote it from my own perspective, I think, oh, this is so sad. This is really awful. The breakup, the this, the that, the illness. But when I write it from what I truly believed she could be thinking and feeling and saying, it's comical, it's lighter. I can look at life in a different way. And it's a lot easier to move forward that way and not stay stuck in any particular sadness. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the key, you know, and you highlighted a little bit earlier in the fact that, you know, memoirs are sort of, you know, yes, you're telling your story, but it's also a release of, okay, here's all my stuff. You know, take a look at it. You've asked for it. Here you go. Be careful what you ask for. But oftentimes I find with memoirs is there's not the healing aspect afterwards. You know, you tell your story, but okay, now what? What are you doing now? How is this putting this pen to paper, we'll say old school here, helped you get through that situation? Or is it more of you've just told your story and you're still haven't had a release? And it sounds like in the book, Walking Allison, this is your chance to not only, you know, tell the story and the challenges that you faced, but also now a release in Daya's voice and in a comical way. Without making it a, you know, comedic type book.
Absolutely. Right on. Yes, it was a release. I wanted to continue my story because, you know, I'm not alone in my story. I'm sure there are many people that can relate to cancer, being scared, living alone, isolation, you know, living in New York and going through COVID alone and all the things that I wrote about. But the release is the joy of my dog and me as partners, you know, getting through this together and looking at it from what I believed her perspective would be. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I truly believed. She has so much personality, this dog. She's not just a lap dog. I mean, she's so comical and silly, and she's a very proud poodle. And, you know, yes, she has separation anxiety and she's very needy, but her opinions, I just thought, made my foibles very, very funny and very relatable to other people. I wanted to be as honest about my own stuff as I could be. And it's a lot easier to be honest via my dog, actually.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, you did a great job of doing that. So we'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back right after this and we'll continue our conversation with Allison Rand and her book, Walking Allison. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author Allison Rand in her latest book, Walking Allison, a poodle's mostly true story of helping our human navigate life. So we talked a little bit about the book and the memoir and looking at this from Daya's standpoint and the differences between your previous memoir and this new memoir, Walking Allison. When people pick up a copy of this book, and whether they've read your first one or not, but in this case, if they have read the first one, what do you hope they gain from that? Is there a tidbit you hope they walk away with? Or what was your goal in putting together this particular book?
Definitely. I tried to write it, and I believe that there are some layers of poignancy in this book. First of all, the power of the human-animal bond has so many layers and can help in so many ways via the complete selflessness of a dog for me personally, but also I believe that these are universal themes for so many people. For me, the power of a bond with Dea, or for someone else, the bond with the dog in their life. Dealing with the serious illness multiple times with more resiliency and keeping the focus on Dea, even before the cancer, was something I always would do, but also during the cancer. Loneliness. There is a huge loneliness epidemic in this country, I think. And having a dog by my side, and I tried to write that we were such a team, there's nothing more helpful. And the love and fear of loss, which I've suffered from because I've lost most of my family. Having a dog or a cat enables one to care about something or someone other than themselves and put that focus on the animal. So what I wanted people to get out of this really was about getting through life's ups and downs. Helped is only helped by the human-animal bond. Dea engages in life, and she makes me more engaged in life. She became really my best teacher because writing this from her point of view made me see my world completely differently. In other words, life's vicissitudes can be looked at differently, and I began to look at them through Dea's eyes and learn to appreciate the humor of some of my life struggles. I tried to show the reader through Dea's voice that it is okay and a good thing to laugh at your own foibles. So my bond with Dea helped me on my journey, my own journey, to finding more self-acceptance and self-love in the face of having gone through so much loss. During the darkest moments of my life, my dogs have always been there with me, right by my side. And I have to tell you, there's nothing that helped me more. You know, we all know dogs live in the moment. And I began to see life differently with her by my side. We met also, I met amazing new connections with neighbors and strangers with dogs via Dea. During COVID alone in New York City, she gave me a sense of normalcy and routine during our long walks. It was our only connection with the outside world for a while. So I guess one of the big points is, with this human-animal bond that is so humense, I don't think we give credit to how much dogs and animals do for us. But I just wanted people to realize to never underestimate the power of loving an animal. It can become the strongest love for some of us.
Very well put. And the book definitely covers that in detail. You know, it really gives it a good perspective. And I think you're absolutely right. Whether we've gone through, I'm sure we've all gone through loss in our life. We've had health challenges in our life. We've had personal challenges in our life. And for those listening to this show, they definitely know that a dog or any other animal can definitely help you get through that, better understand that, and come out a better person on the other end.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
So everybody go out and pick up a copy of the book. It's called Walking Allison, A Poodle's Mostly True Story of Helping Her Human Navigate Life. And we will make sure to everybody check out Allison's site as well. It's AllisonRandAuthor.com, and we'll post that on the site so everybody can take a look at all of your writings and all the wonderful things you've got going on. So Allison, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a real treat, and love the book, and just keep up the great work. Look forward to chatting again somewhere down the road.
Oh, I hope so. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any ideas, comments, thoughts, or questions, you can drop us a line at PetLifeRadio.com. And while you're there, you can check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia of great entertainment with always an animal in view. So everybody take a look at that. So until next time, you know, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.